So you like that. Reggie Bush is going to be nice in the half PPR. I expect big things from him this year. I like D'Angelo off the bench as well, especially with Jonathan Stewart being out the first 4 weeks.
Yep.
That should be pretty nice for him in the flex. If it were me, I'd have him over Jordy Nelson, because I've never been a big Jordy Nelson fan. I think he's kind of relying on his quarterback and that offense, per se.
Des Bryant is the number one receiver, potential. Good number one receiver on his team.
Yeah, Des, the way he finished last season, you know, you could see him finishing this season as the number one overall receiver, you know, with Megatron in the back of your mind there. But the way he was balling at the end of last year, if he can keep that up, which is, you know, the whole MO on him, inconsistency. So, you know, we'll see. Reggie Wayne's a solid number two. Indy's going to throw the ball a whole lot. So, you know, you got to like that, especially if he's your number two. At number one, I wouldn't be as happy with him. But no. If you've got him as your number two receiver, that's not too bad. Again, I don't like Jordy in the flex or Cowboys defense. Vernon Davis, though, interesting tight end prospect. I think he kind of might have reached on him here in the draft, which is something I was trying to avoid at tight end. I felt like tight end after Gronk and Graham were pretty deep from like 3 to 20. We're damn near about the same.
Couple them with the quarterback, though, so.
For sure. So, you know, a lot of those red zone looks you would think are going to go to Kaepernick and Vernon. You know, Kaepernick will probably finish off a lot of those drives himself with a kind of lack of a pass threat out there with Crabtree being hurt. I kind of like Bolden this season. That's another good handcuff, if you will, you know, with Kaepernick and Vernon. Solid off the bench, because I'd wait it out a few weeks and, you know, see where the targets are coming from, and if he's getting, you know, 5 to 10 targets in the first few weeks, then I might slide him up in there instead of Jordy as well. But yeah. Again, I just don't like Jordy.
Too many 49ers on this team for me, with Kendall Hunter on the bench as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is not a high power offense at all by any means. They do probably have the best offensive line in the NFL, but again, I mean, if you're going to go heavy on a certain team, I think you got to go with, you know, your Green Bay's, your New Orleans's, Detroit, teams like that.
Yeah.
Sudfeld off the bench, interesting. You know, he's a ESPN guy, so I'm interested to see how that works out, but I couldn't have him on my team. All right, moving on, second to last team. We got Michael all the way from Denver, Colorado. Shout out to the operation out there. I hope to be sampling some of that at some point in my life, if you can make that happen. But something I noticed here on this team, first thing, Randall Cobb, a player I was radaring heavily that, you know, Michael kind of snuck out there. Good pickup. Stafford should put up pretty big numbers. He threw for, 5,000 yards last year, almost 5,000 yards. So I don't see any reason why that should change as the offense looks better this year to me.
C.J. Spiller makes up for the pass-catching ability that Stephen Ridley does not have.
Most definitely. And you're going to get some looks from Cobb out of the backfield as well. So even though Cobb is listed as a receiver, I kind of almost see him as a offensive weapon like McCluster was listed as last season or 2 seasons ago, and possibly even, you know, running back, because he's going to come out of the backfield almost as much as he's going to come out of the slot.
Caesar Shorts is the number two receiver on this team. I don't know how much I trust the offensive system in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I can't be confident in Cecil Shorts either, although, you know, ESPN will kind of hype you up on him, and, you know, who knows, we could be wrong, but I'm not very satisfied if Cecil Shorts is my number two.
Yep.
Let's look on the bench here.
Eddie Lacy's a good flex.
I see a whole lot of running backs here on the bench, which I'm not surprised. This is a consistent year in, year out from this guy. He likes to draft running backs. I like Bernard off the bench a lot. I think he could even be a keeper candidate by the end of the season, possibly, which would be crazy because he already has Spiller and Ridley here at running back, which are probably going to be the keeper candidates on this team if I had to guess. Cobb's in the mix too, though. Shoot, even Eddie Lacy. This team is loaded with running backs.
Yep, Fred Jackson too. Got the C.J. Spiller handcuff.
That's a nice handcuff. One of the non-handcuffs, if you will, just a guy who's good enough to withstand on his own. I like JerMichael on the bench. How appropriate, right? I guess that's going to be the team name again, Team JerMichael.
Ryan Broyles is my number three receiver, though. I don't feel too confident with that.
I kind of feel the other way, personally. I like Broyles, even if You know, he's working at number three receiver, I feel like, in that offense with as much as they throw the ball, leading the league in pass attempts, or second, or whatever they were in pass attempts these last couple of years. Someone's going to be catching balls out there, and teams have known to double Calvin Johnson, make it tough on him. So Broyles, a good route runner, he should find some open space there. Just if he can stay healthy is the thing to me. If he's healthy, I feel like he could easily be top 30 receiver, and I don't feel like that's really stretching it, but...
Michael Vick on the roster. And new offense could be a top 10 fantasy quarterback if the offense works out.
Interesting backup there for sure. And with Stafford, you know, he should be good pending injury. So, you know, if you have the luxury of sliding Michael Vick in there on a weekly basis when he plays a weak defense and maybe Stafford plays a strong one, that could be beneficial.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Michael Vick's health always up in the air within question. So. Not sure on that one. McFadden on the bench, another wild card. I mean, I could see this team possibly trading some running backs for receivers. That's my recommendation personally. Receiving core is pretty weak and not deep, but the running backs are ample and strong. So if you can find some good trades possibly for some more receiver depth, you know, possibly even one of these top bench guys like McFadden or Bernard off the bench, I think that'd be worth it. Even Lacy. Trade Lacy for a receiver and then plug in McFadden or Bernard the Flex. All right, that's enough for this team. We'll wrap it up with Team Ian.
Number one pick.
Not surprised with the draft. He's kind of forced to take AP there or be heavily criticized by everyone and their mom, right? So with the number one pick, you got to wait a long time until your second pick. Who did you get the second pick, Brady?
I believe so. Which is not a bad pick. A lot of people question Brady. He lost Hernandez, Gronkowski's injury history, and Amendola. But I think when it's all over, he should be a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, Brady's pretty safe this year. People are talking about how, you know, the offense doesn't have any weapons and they're going to miss Welker and this and that. But, I mean, if you look at the offense last year, even with Welker, you know, I wasn't impressed. The weapons were, you know, less than threatening. I actually like Amendola and Kimbrell Tompkins, and they got a couple other rookies that look pretty straight to me.
Matt Forte is the number two back. That's not a bad number two running back.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all, especially considering the flex right there. I really like the running backs on this team, considering that you got AP. You know, a lot of teams that I've seen that get AP in some of my other leagues and in mock drafts don't end up with very strong running back core, but I really like this running back core. I think David Wilson's a pretty good running back too, but even a flex really gives you flexibility, ironically, because of his big play potential.
Yeah, no Andre Brown anymore.
Yeah, no Andre Brown. The fact that he has two quarterbacks though stands out to me. This is interesting. I'm not sure if this is just straight trade bait, or if, you know, Tom Brady is a bench potential player for him. I don't know. If it's me, I'm gonna play Tom Brady every week just for the consistency. Especially over a guy like Griffin, because, you know, the injury concerns are there, and, you know, Brady's offense is just more potent and powerful and has a more reputation to me.
Yeah.
The Washington's, you know, committed to running the ball. So is New England, but I feel like Brady's going to get his on a weekly basis, and, you know, his high-low will be a little more minimalized compared to Griffin. But if you're trying to trade Griffin for a some improvement, I would probably look towards possibly receiver.
Yeah. Andre Johnson, number one receiver. Never had a double-digit touchdown season in his career. Steve Smith, he's still 31 years old, I believe, and getting it, so not a bad number two wide receiver.
Word of advice to the other nine teams, don't overpay for Griffin because he has to move him, right? Or don't overpay for Brady. He has two quarterbacks, so make him sweat that. Don't get antsy, Ryan, now if your quarterback doesn't start doing so well.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, don't overpay for a backup type quarterback if you already have a good one, which pretty much everybody in this league has a good one. That's kind of the trend this year, and that's kind of why, you know, going back to my team, I went with Luck in whatever round I got him in, the 35th round or whatever it was, but. Don't overpay for a backup quarterback on another team. Make the guy with two quarterbacks sweat it out.